Hey, what's up, you sports V's? You guys know what time it is. It's 6 p.m. on a Tuesday, and it's time for Let's Talk About Sports. I'm your host, Miss V, the Tour Lady, and you guys know what that means. We're getting ready to do a real quick rundown on what's happening in sports. First thing in sports is the weather. Mother Nature has been taking her toll on baseball. This will be the first April that I can remember in a very, very long time that not only has baseball been canceled or postponed in so many different locations due to the weather, but also in other parts of the country. I can tell you wholeheartedly that Mother Nature made sure this past weekend that she did her job. She canceled baseball here in Detroit, not once, but twice. The games were postponed until June. We have games that are going on at 6:40 tonight. But because of the amount of snow that we've been getting, Mother Nature has been making sure she let everybody know. That's why they call her Mother Nature. But you guys want to join the conversation, you can join the conversation at 646-716-8041. This is the quickest 30 minutes in sports. This is where we do pretty much the rundown. You know, it shouldn't even be... We don't talk about sports. We give you the rundown in sports. My big thing that I'm going to talk about is something that I know you guys don't want to hear about. The Kentucky Derby is getting ready to start. They have not got the lineup, and I cannot believe that the first weekend in May, it's going to be Derby time. And the contenders, I was looking for the contenders list earlier today, and the contenders are too many to name. I mean, so there. One of the things they were saying, there's Magnum Moons. He's one of the top runners for the Derby. And I guess he hasn't been challenged in a while. Another another horse they're talking about, if Curlin and Boltzmeyer. And I haven't been watching this year. I've been trying to keep up, but I'm going to give you guys. They've got a list of who may go. They haven't even gotten down to the 18 horses yet. So they still got like over 100 horses out there. But they've got Justify out there who, you know, his rating is 7.99. He's the highest rated horse out there. You've got Good Magic. Well, and you've got both the Or, Solomini, Audible, Magnum Moon, who I just told you about, My Boy Jack, Creative Cause, Reno Rosso. Ooh, that sounds like a good drink. Metal, ooh, I can't even pronounce the name. Somebody's going to have to tell me that name. Flame Away, Notably Indie, Enticed, Bravazo, Promises Fulfilled. Sounds like a good one. Runaway Ghost, Quip, Combatant, Fierce Fire, Lone Sailor, and a whole bunch of others. These are horses that are contending to go to the Derby this year. And we all know I'm a Derby fan. I'm actually in the process right now of looking for a hat, not because I'm going to be at the Derby, but because I think that you cannot watch the Kentucky Derby without having like a fantastic hat on. So I'm actually shopping for hats, and since the Derby is on a Saturday, anybody who watches me, I do Selfie Saturday. On that Saturday, I will have on a hat that I will be sporting, and it's going to be a Derby hat. So it's not just going to be any old hat. It's going to be fabulous. So that's something that you guys get to look forward to. I know everybody don't talk about fashion for the Derby. I talk about fashion because I know that it's one of those things that everybody don't talk about, and it's just, like, so fabulous that I had put out there that I am actually in the process of looking for a hat for the Derby. So if anybody wants to send me a hat for the Kentucky Derby, you're more than welcome to. I like them big, and I like them fancy. The bigger, the better. I might actually go on Amazon and put that on my wish list for anybody who wants to know. What do I want? I would love a hat for the Kentucky Derby, a fabulous hat, and I'll look at some hats, and I'll put them on my wish list for you. You guys know Boston Marathon was yesterday, and I am proud to say that the woman who won the Boston Marathon actually is from Michigan. Not only is she from Michigan, she trains with people I used to train with. And I know y'all like, Miss V, you ain't did anything. No, I have not ran no 26 miles. Let's get that clear. I have not ran 26 miles ever in my life. But I did do the half marathon. And these people train you, and I mean, the fact that this was the first marathon she's ever won, she won over $100,000 just for being a winner, and she's prepared for the marathon. And she still lives here in Michigan, and they were joking on the news saying that as horrible as our weather has been, that's what prepared her. I can tell you they're probably right, because we've had Boston, the weather in Boston yesterday was the type of weather that we have here. All I can say is that I'm proud that American won. I actually pulled an article so that I wasn't talking out the side of my neck to you guys today. I actually am more prepared than I normally am, well, have been. But I'm going to give y'all, the last thing I'm going to talk about is the NFL. But I'm going to read you guys the article that I pulled off CBS Sports earlier today, which was Boston Marathon 2018. Desiree Linden makes history with win, leads American charge. For the first time in 33 years, an American has won, American, and it should be an American woman, has won the Boston Marathon. Desiree Linden took the woman's race Monday with a time of 2 hours and 39 minutes and 53 seconds. Now, let me tell you, that's what it takes me to run a half marathon. I know y'all might be saying y'all don't care, but yes, it takes me that long to run a half marathon. So she was really kicking some butt. She was going twice as fast as I go when I was running the half marathons. They said it was a rainy, gloomy day for the runners, but Linden and Yuki Kawachi, the men's runner, were able to overcome the conditions to win. Kawachi of Japan won the men's division in 2 hours, 15 minutes, 53 seconds. That was real fast, too. Linden, who's 34 years old, and Kawachi, 31, both had comeback wins. Linden persevered after Ethiopia's Momentu Daska broke away from the pack before the halfway point. She ran on her own for a time, but the pack's steady pace closed her nearly 30-second lead, with Linden and Kenya's Gladys Cherisi wearing her down. Linden's time was the slowest for a women's winner since 1978, and they said that was because of conditions. But it was still over 4 minutes faster than the second place runner, the United States' Sarah Sellers. So we took first and second, which is very good for the Boston Marathon. Something that really hasn't happened in quite a while. It's supposed to be her, she said via the Associated Press. It's good to get it done. Okay, whatever. Linden nearly got it done in 2011 when she finished a mere 2 seconds away from winning. The last American to win the marathon was Lisa Larden Windelbeck in 1985. That's like awesome. Very, very awesome. So I tell everybody, you know, go Desiree. I don't know you, but what they didn't talk about was that she trains with the Hanson Brooks Club, which Hanson is one of our best sporting running shoes here, one of the best stores here for running shoes. And big shout out to Hanson's. And I'm going to say this because I don't normally give shout outs to like sporting goods, but Hanson's is a running store, and they take the time to train you. These people are, like, awesome. I found out about them when my son was running track when he was in high school, and I did not know where to get track shoes from. I did not run track. Let's get that really clear. I did a little bit of cross country, and I couldn't even make it in cross country, okay? So I couldn't make it past the tryouts. Now I could probably do it because cross country is actually easier than regular track, but I will tell you that because I had no clue, I wanted to make sure I got him the proper shoes and the proper fitting, and everyone told me when he was in high school to go to Hanson's. I went to Hanson's. They fitted him. They told me what type of cleats and everything to get, and I would have been throwing his football cleats on him or his soccer cleats, not realizing that there are different cleats for different services when you run track, and they just really, really educated me. So big shout out to you guys. You guys are fabulous. You know, glad to see somebody from that group. One, they also helped me when I ran my first half marathon. They helped me do my training. So another big shout out, big props to guys. You guys are great. I can't say nothing but good things, you know. So I'm a proud Michiganer. And I could say that Desiree, you go, girl. And she young. I mean, she probably got about 20 more marathons. Marathoners can run forever, it seems like. And she's got that adrenaline going. So she's going to do very, really, really great. Had to put that out there. Another thing going on. Like I said, baseball, Mother Nature, she don't know how to let it go. The NFL draft is about to come up. But before we get to the NFL draft, we had more people. You got more college guys going into the NBA draft. And one of the gentlemen, one of the young men who was on Michigan's team, he said earlier this week that he was going to forego his senior season. And he's going in for the draft. And I say, you know what? I wish all you guys the best who are opting to not finish college and go to these different drafts. Because we all know that the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, NHL, none of these are guaranteed. You take a chance when you come out of school and you go into them. So it's like, okay, you're making this choice. Now I understand why you're making it. I'm not your mommy. I'm not your parent, so I don't have to agree with it. I just say, you guys go. You know, you go. Another thing, I'm looking at some of the stuff I don't think I've talked about. I've got a whole lot of stuff on the NFL. Oh, the Detroit Lions opponents. You guys know I had to get on that because this is a conversation that we weren't able to have last week, and I know I did the show really fast, and I'm trying not to do that again this week. So, let's see. They actually came out with it 3 hours ago. Now, this is breaking news, you guys. The Lions 2018 schedule. Detroit must take advantage of a favorable road slate. Okay. Let's see what they're saying. I have not had a chance to see this, so you guys will find out as I'm finding out. This is our preseason schedule. And actually, I did see this earlier. I didn't really pay attention. But here's this is preseason. Week one, we're going to be at Oakland. Week two, we're going to be at home for the Giants. Week three, we're going to be in Tampa Bay. And week four, we'll be back at home with Cleveland. These are all preseason. Our preseason is actually one of the easiest preseasons that we have. We don't have the Patriots in preseason, but we do have them in regular season this year, which is something that we knew was going to happen. We just, you know, as they say, we weren't looking forward to it. But here are our home opponents for this year. And when I say our, I mean the Lions, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, L.A., Carolina, Seattle, the Patriots, and the Jets. And those are the games we're playing at home, you know, and naturally three of those games are in our division. The Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings are all in our division. The other games are outside of our of the NFC North. But the whole thing is that playing the Patriots, we're not contenders with them, so that's going to be a game that where you're going to have Patricia up against Belichick. That's going to be the game that everyone is going to watch. That's the game that I will probably be tailgating a whole lot at. So when they tell us exactly what day that will be, I'm sure a lot of people, and I'm going to say a whole lot of people, will be taken off of work the next day because that's the game that right there is like the game of the season. The away games are naturally the first two I said, the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings all in our division. We're playing the Cowboys at home. We're playing the Cardinals at home. And I should say away at their home. We've got the 49ers, the Dolphins, and the Bills. So, again, you know, we've got some good games. Our road trip, you know, I think that the thing that was said was that they're hoping, and this is what they talked about when we were at the member summit last week, which was they're hoping that since the Cardinals and the 49ers on the West Coast, they're hoping to have those games back-to-back. And when they say back-to-back, like the same, you know, they're playing the Cardinals 1 week, the Niners the next week, or vice versa. And their hopes are to stay out on the West Coast versus flying back and then going back out there. We'll find out how the actual schedule, as far as those games come up when they fall, because since we know those will be away games, we'll be watching TV hard. But I'm going to read you this article that, and like I said, I just put this up on sportingnews.com. So this information is not coming from me. This is coming from sportingnews.com. And it said, and I'm doing the breakdowns that they're saying about the Lions. They said the toughest test, get out the freaking flyer miles. Detroit has West Coast trips to Arizona and San Francisco, plus visits to Dallas and Miami. Buffalo could be a cold weather challenge. The good news, Minnesota is Detroit's only road game against a playoff team from last season. We ain't worried about Minnesota. I'm just letting everybody know. We're not worried about Minnesota. Biggest breaks. The Lions haven't had a losing record at home since 2012, and that should help against tough opponents such as the Patriots, Panthers, Rams, and Seahawks. Detroit also has won four of its last five Thanksgiving games, despite last year's loss to Minnesota. Yeah, we were not happy about that loss to Minnesota. I was highly upset. I could have had more to drink if I would have known the game was going to be the way it was. Bottom line, Detroit would have to be better in one-score games against an improved NFC North across the board. The Lions were 3-4 in one-score games last season. All of that with one loss coming on a controversial finish in a 30-26 loss to Atlanta. Yeah, that was, we were not happy with that. This record could go either way, a game or two, but it is best to start in the middle given the tough road patches. The prediction is that the Lions are going to go 8-8 this year. That's from sportingnews.com. And I tell everybody, I'm not going to give my prediction. I thought we were going to go wild. I don't even think I said we were going to go wild card. So I'm really going to hold out. You know, I would like to hope and pray that we have a really good, you know, let's see, okay. They got the Detroit Lions schedule. They have not given the games, the dates for the regular games. They're just giving the proposed dates. Okay, preseason, and this is something that I want to know. Preseason will be the game at home against the Browns will be either August 30th or 31st. The game in Tampa Bay is going to be Friday, August 24th. The game at Ford Field against the Giants is going to be either 16th, 17th, 18th, or 19th at Ford Field, which is really, that's funny. I'm going to actually look at the calendar because that's kind of crazy. And I think they said one of the problems they were having this year throughout the entire NFL was that Ed Sheeran, it's messing with everybody's schedule. So it was just like, really, Ed Sheeran is doing this? But Ed Sheeran is the reason why. So I'm looking, the game, that's the Cleveland Browns game will probably be Friday, August 30th. They don't know if that's going to be a Thursday or Friday game, but they're saying that could possibly be a Friday game, Thursday or Friday. The fact that you've got 4 days for that Giants preseason game, I'm betting my money on the 17th, on that Friday. I'm just letting everybody know that's my bet, that's when the game is going to be. You know, a lot of people say different. My bet is that that's when it's going to be. Again, something that I'll be looking at, I'll be paying attention to. They have not released the dates for the other games, but it's always good to know. It's only one game that actually has a true, definite date. And this is funny. The game in Tampa Bay is going to be Friday, August 24th at 8 p.m. airing on CBS. How the heck they locked that game in and nothing else, I have no clue. But that is how the NFL works, where you get stuff like that where you're just like, where the heck did that come from? Because you don't know how they come up with that particular, out of all the stuff, you don't know where that comes from. And I can tell you, I didn't either when I saw that. I'm going to look to see. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking when, and like I said, being at Member Summit, I remember them saying that they said that this was what was going on, and I think they said Ed Sheeran, or somebody is having conflicting dates. Okay, so Luke Bryan is going to be at Ford Field on the 26th of October. Let's see what day that is. It probably does not. The 26th of October is a Friday. No problem. Luke Bryan, you good. Because we don't do Friday games during regular season. The On the Road Tour with Beyonce and Jay-Z, we ain't got no problem. We won't have to worry about that. Taylor Swift is not a problem because we'll be in Cleveland in August. And her concert is on the 28th of August. And we're supposed to be in Cleveland on the 31st. So that is also another we're not concerned about it situation. And I know everybody said, how am I sitting here realizing all this? Real easy. Her concert is in the middle of the week. It's on a Tuesday. So, again, I believe they said Ed Sheeran was the problem. Like I said, I'm looking right now. Oh, that's right. Ed Sheeran will be, and that's the funny part. Ed Sheeran is messing up the beginning of the, I knew they were saying that he was messing up the beginning of the football season. He is at Ford Field September 8th, which is a Saturday. So if they cannot get him cleared up out of there for that Sunday game, that means the Lions will probably be away. And it's really funny that someone such as Ed Sheeran could mess up an NFL season, but he's successfully changed the beginning of the NFL season. So you go, Ed Sheeran. You're the stuff, honey. Because only you, and they say he's doing this all over the country, so it's like messing with a lot of NFL games. So Ed Sheeran, you know, September 8th, we know that if the Lions are supposed to be at home September 8th, that won't happen. I mean, it's September 9th for that game. Because they don't have enough time to get everything cleared out, and that was one of the things they were saying. So odds are that game will not be here, which means that they're hoping that that's like a road game and they're away. But I want to follow up with that Lions news with the other things that have been happening, and this is coming from the 21 Man, if I could get to the article, because this is where the 2016 draft class stands heading into year 3. And I'm reading this article to you from the Detroit Lions website that I've copied over so I can understand it better. General Manager Bob Quinn and his staff are in the final preparations for the third NFL draft next week. And that's actually coming this week. And I'm ready for it. Our offensive line is what I hope they're looking at, because they've done a lot of off-season deals, which means that they're not desperate this year, you know, which is something that it's always good to not be desperate going into the draft. So you're able to be a little bit more picky, and you can sit back and wait on who you really want. Being the 21st pick or 22nd pick this year, you know, it's one of those things where you're not going to get the number one anyway if you really are looking for somebody. But here's what they're saying. They're saying Quinn's previous two drafts have supplied the roster with plenty of young talent, and a lot of the headlines this offseason will focus on the players from last year's class that are entering year two. A player's biggest jump in development is typically between the first 2 years, so there's a lot of interest in that group. But Quinn's first draft class from 2016 is also entering an important time frame in their careers. Quinn has also said that a draft class can't truly be evaluated until they've had a few seasons under their belt. Well, his first draft class is entering the crucial third year that ordinarily tells a lot about a player. Let's take a look at the 2016 draft class and where those players currently stand in their development heading into what's typically a make-or-break third season. Taylor Decker. tight end, first round, number 16 overall. After a terrific rookie season that saw Decker play even down, play every down and earn a spot on the Pro Football Writers All Rookie Team, he injured his right shoulder in OTAs and was forced to miss the beginning of half of his second season. As expected, after that kind of layoff, Decker was a little inconsistent the second half of the season as he tried to work his way back into playing form. This is a big season for Decker. The Lions need him to stay healthy and lock down the left tackle spot like he did as a rookie. Decker also has the physical tools to be a Pro Bowl caliber tackle. Will it all come together for him in year three? Big question. I like Taylor Decker. Love him. A'shaun Robinson, defensive tackle, second round. Robinson became a full-time starter last season and finished with 53 tackles, a sack, and forced fumble, and an interception return for a touchdown. Pro Football Focus graded him as the 46th best interior defender in football last season. Robinson also with Sylvester Williams and Akon Spence will play an important role in a revamped Lions defense under new head coach Matt Patricia. Robinson made an impact last year, but the Lions should look for him to make a bigger one in year three. And like I said, I like A'shaun Robinson. Graham Glasgow, guard and center, third round, number 95 was his pick. Glasgow has been a Swiss Army knife up front for this team in his first two seasons. He played guard, and he's had to finish both of his first two seasons at center after starter Travis Swanson was forced out of the lineup due to concussions both in 2016 and 2017. And, you know, the concussions, I'm glad to say that the NFL are not playing with them. You know, they're taking it very seriously. They're sending these guys out there, watching them, and they're making sure that they're fully ready. And not just the NFL, but all sports. I know y'all said, where'd I go with that? But you mentioned something that's important. I have to talk to you about it. Quinn said he's keeping his options open with Glasgow, so we'll probably get some clarity to what his role will be moving forward after the draft. And OTAs. He was graded in the top eight among centers by PFF last season. He was number 13 among left guards. Glasgow has been a steady young player and expected to keep getting better. Miles Killebrew, safety, fourth round, number 111. Killebrew is a beast. Killebrew had more of a niche role in sub packages his first two seasons, but he gets a clean slate and Patricia's new defense. Things are a bit crowded at safety with starters Glover Quinn and Tavon Wilson back under contract and Quadre Diggs proving last year he's more than capable at the position if the Lions keep him there, which is true. This is a big year for Killebrew, who's shown flashes of his ability but not consistently enough to warrant a starting role. He has good size and can run, and it will be interesting to see what role Patricia, defensive coordinator Paul Pasquale, come with for him. At the very least, Killebrew is a good special teamer and has proven to be an asset as a sub-package player. This is a big offseason for him. And Killebrew really has got to prove himself. I love Killebrew, but they said, like they said, he's really inconsistent. Joe Dow, I don't know who he is. That's sad. Fifth round, number 151. The former tackle had to transform his body and learn to play guard the last two seasons. He's played in six games last year and made three starts to end the year earning a positive grade from PFF in two of those contests. If the Lions decide to play Glasgow at center, Dow should be in the mix along with veteran Kenny Wiggins and any potential interior lineman draft pick for the open spot at left guard. This was a pick Quinn knew would take a little time to develop. We saw some of the fruits of Dow's labor at the end of last season, and we'll see if he's taken the necessary steps this offseason to become a full-time starter in year three. Now, for those of you guys who don't know that the just because it's offseason and it's not preseason and that's training camp, these guys are out there still working out. Those that are here in town are, you know, doing the workouts. They have, like, things they have to do. You know, this is like, you know, it's like if you want your paycheck, you show up to work at least twice a week or something. I don't know the exact routine, don't you guys quote me. But they're not just sitting back eating bonbons, just so you'll know. They're still working. They're still getting things done. Jake Ruddock, quarterback, sixth round draft pick, sixth round, number 191. I like, before anybody, before I read anything, I like Ruddock. I liked him, you know, as the backup last year, even though he didn't play at all. He showed his action in the preseason, which was great. I hope that we can keep him and keep him going. The article says Ruddock developed enough from 1 year to two to earn the role of Matthew Stafford's backup last season. He saw action in December against Baltimore and completed 3 of 5 passes for 24 yards and an interception. That had to be a away game. The team signed veteran Matt Cassell in free agency this offseason, which sets up some competition in the quarterback room. Quinn has drafted a quarterback late in each of his first two drafts. It was Ruddock in 2016 and Brad Kaya last year. It's hard to evaluate Ruddock because he doesn't play much after the preseason, but the fact that he was trusted to be Stafford's lone backup last season means the organization has to like the developmental path he's on, which is true. He kicked butt last year in the preseason. You know, I could say that wholeheartedly. I was at that Patriots game where he brought us back to almost winning. Anthony Zetto, defensive end, sixth round, number 202. Credit Zell for stepping up and taking advantage of an opportunity last year when Kerry Hyder Jr. went down with an Achilles injury in the first preseason game. Settle jumped into a starting role opposite Ziggy Ansah and rewarded the Lions for 43 tackles and 6.5 sacks. Zettel is a tenacious runner and has some very good athletic traits to go along with his bulldog style. He was graded the 26th best 4-3 edge rusher by PFF last year. That season, one spot behind his teammate, Ansah. Zettel will compete for a starting role and at the very least gives the team a proven veteran rusher in their rotation. He's turning into a nice player on the edge with a lot of potential. Somebody I like. Running back, Dwayne Washington. Teams drafting players in late rounds usually look for right athletic traits they think can develop. Washington has the kind of size and speed that translates to the pro game, but he hasn't quite shown a natural feel as a runner. He averaged 2.9 yards per carry as a rookie and just 2.2 per attempt last season on 20 carries. Oh, I'm winded. The addition of LeGarrette Blount, oh, I'm so glad we made that choice. So glad. Oh, my God. I happened to glance up and there was a thing that happened earlier with a Southwest Airlines flight that had to come down. Well, one passenger has been actually killed after the engine explosion. And they said someone almost got pulled out the window. They're not giving full details right now, but they said it was a woman. Now they're saying that this woman has passed away. I'm thinking this is the woman that they're saying has passed away. So my condolences go out and I just happened to glance up and see that. I'm so sorry for the interruption, you guys. But they are talking about it on NBC Nightly News right now. And for anybody who is catching this, I just happened to glance up and see this. This is something that I was not looking for. They're showing where the window actually blew out in the plane. And this is, you know, a sad day because we haven't had anything like this happen in a very, 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 very long time. Back to what I was saying. The addition of LeGarrette Blount in the free agency and a potential drafting of another back next week is a very deep draft class of runners. Could put Washington in an uphill climb to make the roster. As a side note, Antoine Williams, fifth round, and long snapper Jimmy Lands are no longer on the roster. But the one thing I can tell you is that another thing happened this week, which I know everybody's like, y'all don't care, but I care, because it's something that I was waiting to see. The newest Lions have selected their numbers, and for those of us who buy jerseys, it is important to us that we know. So I'm going to read you what they said, and it's going to be, you know, I like this. I was seeing this today. So new Lions select numbers. Lions General Manager Bob Quinn. So the number of holes in the veteran free agent market this offseason. He revamped his linebacking corps to add more size with the signings of Devon Kennard and Christian Jones and Jonathan Frenzy. Quinn also added a veteran to the running back room, LeGarrette Blount, and improved the depth at tight end, Luke Wilson and Levine Tolo, along with the interior of Detroit's offensive line, Kenny Wiggins and Wesley Johnson. After Haloti Ngata decided to sign with Philadelphia at free agency, Quinn filled that hole with the signing of Sylvester Williams. Detroit also added a versatile defensive back in Deshaun Shedd. All of the new players began work with their new team last week for the start of the offseason training program in Allen Park. One of their first duties was selecting their new jersey numbers with the Lions. And some of you might care, some of you might not care, but here are the numbers. Cornerback Deshaun Shedd is number 26. Running back LeGarrette Blount, I might have to go buy this jersey, number 29. Linebacker Devon Kennard, number 42. Linebacker Christian Jones, number 52. Tight end Luke Wilson, number 82. Tight end Levine Tolio, 87. Center Wesley Johnson, number 73. And I got to see our quarterback, the quarterbacks in numbers. So, did I miss that when I pulled everything over? I'll have to look because I was waiting to see what the quarterbacks in number was going to be. Let me pull up that real quick. I know y'all are like, really, did she say she's going to pull up? Yes, I am. Because I know that I can't believe he didn't pick his number. And I may have just pulled over the information incorrectly because I could have swore that I had more people than that. But let me look. As they say, when you have a question, you ask and you check. So what I'm going to check is the players. Because I know that we had more than one person who... I know we had another quarterback on the roster. Let's see what number he pulled. Okay, so we still have some people who have not picked their numbers yet. And, okay, they don't have them listed on here. They haven't updated the website with the new numbers. Yeah, because Matt Cassell, they don't have, so let's see what the news is saying. I know y'all like, she's so crazy. Yes, I am. I always have to put that in. You know, I don't have enough sense. So I wanted to see what the new numbers were. And I wanted to see what Cassell's number was going to be. So let me look and see. Because I could have swore that, no, he did not pick his number yet. And that may be... These people pick their numbers are locked in. They're playing. Quarterback, apparently, they're still competing. So even though they signed him, he doesn't have his number, which a little sad, but we can live with that. One of those that all I could do is say, it's going to be a great offseason. Also, I did the pre-draft, and I've been getting, like, emails about the draft and stuff. So it's been interesting because it's something that with the draft, we weren't, you know, I'm not a big person who sits there and says, oh, we should get this person, we should get that person. I just, another thing in the news, see, these are things that I have to keep up on and that I wanted to see because they're just things that we have not been kept abreast of. This is in sporting news. So this is some last week we had our last harness race track closed down, Hazel Park. And this was just posted today. Northville Downs, which is harness racing, the racing track to be sold redevelopment into apartments and homes. The article is, Northville Downs Horse Racetrack will be sold off and redeveloped into high-end housing. Northville's racing track, the last remaining horse racing track in Michigan after Hazel Park Raceway closed earlier this month, will be sold to Hunter Pastero Homes along with adjacent parcels, and the land will be redeveloped into high-end apartment and housing complex. President and CEO of Hunter Pastero Homes, Randy Werner, made the announcement. The project is in the preliminary stages, and we're eager to continue working with the city of Northville and our partner to iron out the numerous details that come with a project of this scale. Werner said, we expect to have all the entitlements in place in 2019. As more details become available, we will share them with the community. Northville Downs, located at the corner of 7 Mile Road and Sheldon Road, has been open for more than 100 years. Racing will continue at the track through 2020. Wow. Racing will continue at the track through 2020 despite the pending sale of the land. The sale still has to be approved by the city, and the timeline for development isn't currently available. While future plans for the mixed-use development are currently in the approval stages, it will include commercial use in addition to 500 to 600 units of high-end rental apartments for sale, townhomes, and single-family homes. Northville Downs is actively pursuing the continuation of its horse racing and wagering operations at an area in close proximity to its current location. Northville Downs is open for summer cast wages Friday and Saturday evenings for live races. They do not offer thoroughbred racing. That is something that I was not aware of until I just saw this. So, again, that was something that popped up on my timeline. You guys know I love horse racing. I had to make sure I saw that. Whew. So that's something that I wanted to keep track of. So, yes, that was breaking news. And it just caught me so completely off guard that I had to just take a little breath because I was not. I told you guys I'm always checking my timeline for different things that are going on and trying to keep abreast of everything. So that was something that I did not have. I had not paid attention. I had not seen it. That popped up. I'm a big horse racing fan, so that really caught me off guard. I'm actually catching my breath from this one because it caught me off guard. I'm looking to see if there's anything else in my timeline because as things develop, I want to put them out there. Also, you guys may have not have heard or found, but there was some type of shooting at the vehicle that Floyd Mayweather was driving. I haven't gotten all the details, but apparently they don't know who was shooting at them or what caused it. I was watching the news earlier. And they were talking about it. So that's something that I'm looking at these emails. Okay. That's easy for me to answer. A lot of these emails. Okay. Back to what we were saying. I apologize, you guys, that as the different news comes in about sports, we'll be talking about it, but I wanted to let you guys know that this show is scheduled for an hour. We have not been going an hour. We're still not going to make it an hour tonight, but what I will say is that we went longer than we anticipated. You know, I'm telling everybody, this is the quickest hours in sports talk radio. It's actually the quickest 30 minutes because we've cut it down so much. But we continue to make sure that we give you the best and what's out there and current, and we're not just talking about stuff that's nonsense. With that said, I want to tell you guys have a great week. Come back next Tuesday when we'll be having more Let's Talk About Sports on V's After Dark Radio. And until next week, you guys have a great week and listen to our flagship show Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bye-bye.